Let me bid you welcome again, express appreciation for your being here. And we say it, it's just also certainly thankful for your desire to assemble as a congregation for worship. The title of our lesson this morning is Depart from Evil. I'm sure that's probably a given, and we say, well, I knew that. Depart from evil. And even in the introduction, I want to give you an idea of what am I supposed to think about evil, or how am I supposed to act when evil exists? We certainly know that evil exists in our world. But let's bring it closest in our state, in our county, even closer to home. It exists in our neighborhood. Now, there's always something that's just not right. And what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to think? By putting your notes, I've listed 7 things. Number one, and you could already add to this list, but I need to hate evil. Number two, I want to pray for deliverance from evil. I don't want to participate in it. Number three, keep my heart from evil. Number four, resist it. Number five, don't walk in the way of evil. Number six, depart from evil. Then the last one, overcome evil with good. So this lesson is really a reminder of what we've been taught. The lesson is a reminder of what we already know. So it kind of takes us back. And you might say, when I look at, read these things or say these things, you're going to say, oh, yes, I know that. Isaiah said in Isaiah 1, verse 16, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. To some people, it just seems like evil comes naturally. But I need to learn. I want to be taught to do good. Amos, the Old Testament prophet, said in chapter 5, verse 14, seek good, not evil, that you may live. So the Lord God of hosts will be with you. So there's a benefit, a blessing. There's something good about departing from evil, and that's our lesson this morning. There's a lot of admonitions from the Bible. There's admonitions to do good from our parents, from society. We're being told, rightly so, over and over again, I know the Lord will find a way for me. If I shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will find a way for me. It's a song in our hymnal. So by definition, when we think about evil, you can add to the list the Bible Dictionary definition and Webster too. By definition, evil is all that is wrong. It's whatever is morally unacceptable. It's just an action that's evil. A few words by itself, when you look up in the dictionary, when you say evil, wickedness, crime, sinfulness, devilry, unrighteousness, harmful actions. And then the Bible says in Ephesians 4, verse 31, refrain from evil speaking. Oh, so evil. You know what the definition would be. You could tell me without me even reading the dictionary definition. So here's the biblical response to evil. Number one, hate it. Psalm 97, verse 10. You who love the Lord, you know, our hands go up. Now count me in. I'm on God's side. You that love the Lord, the next 2 words are hate evil. You love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Romans 12, verse 9 uses a different word. Abhor that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. Again, by definition, the word hate. Abhor. Extreme disgust or dislike. Detest. loathe, despise. Another word used was distaste. I have a distaste for evil. You ever have someone might be eating something and they go, oh, that's horrible. Here, try it. And you say, no, thanks. They say, no, it's really horrible. Try it. And we say, that's not a recommendation. And that's what the Bible is saying for you and me. No, we need to have a distaste for evil. We need to hate it. Not just say, I don't like it. Not say, I tend to stay away from it. Not, I tend to go away from it. No, it's hate, abhor, create a distaste for evil, all that's wrong. Proverbs 8, verse 13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Yeah, don't like that. Hate it. Number two, pray for deliverance from evil, or from the evil one. When the disciples came to Jesus, said, Lord, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples to pray. So he gives them some instruction. He says, okay, so after this manner pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then there's that phrase close to the end. It says, deliver me from evil. And another translation says, from the evil one. You see, prayer, well, that's power. That's power. I pray, God, in my prayers, keep me from evil. Because it's all around us, isn't it? It's everywhere present. We just noted that. We see it in our world, and we take it to our nation, our state, our county, our neighborhood. Yeah. Can't escape it. It's there. So in my prayers, God, help me to do good. Help me to stay on your side. Deliver me from evil, from the evil one. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, Paul said, God's faithful. Yeah. He won't allow you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with every temptation provide a way of escape. So I'm praying, God, keep providing an escape place for me. There's evil going on. I see it or I read about it. Keep me from evil. Don't let me participate. Don't let it jump up and grab me. I want to pray. Deliver me from evil. And I say that because Peter said in 2 Peter 2, verse 9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. So God, you know how to deliver me. I pray, keep me from evil. Number three, keep your heart from evil. Hebrew writer says it this way, interesting phrase too. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, begins with the word beware. So now the Hebrew writer is saying, all right, sit up and take notice. Listen up. Wake up, take heed, just to beware. So there's something, he's going to warn us of a danger. Beware. It's like when you're driving, going down the street, you see the railroad crossing coming up, and all of a sudden the lights danger ahead. I'm going to give you a warning. Hebrews says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief. I never thought. Unbelief is an evil heart. Someone says, I don't believe in God. God's perspective says that's an evil heart. I don't believe. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So there's a heartfelt message. And then the Proverbs goes on to say, put away from you a deceitful mouth, and he gives you a biblical makeover. We see in our world today, you can get a facial and all these things, a physical facial makeover. Well, there's a biblical makeover. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. Don't turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Spiritual makeover concerning evil. In Proverbs 23, verse 7, so is it. So we're warned about an evil heart of unbelief. And it's interesting, the next phrase of that verse in Hebrews 3, verse 12, the evil heart of unbelief is described this way, in departing from the living God. A departure from the living God. You say, oh no, I'm just not interested in worship or in church attendance. I'm just not interested in prayer. No, God says, I want you to get yourself away from that evil heart, and you have now departed from the living God. So what do you think about evil? What should I do about evil? I need to keep my heart from it. Keep my heart. Number four, just resist it. Resist. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22, abstain is a word from every form of evil. Every form? Abstain, you would know that definition. Well, that doesn't mean I'm not supposed to participate in it. I need to decline, refuse, avoid. You know, years ago, there was a popular phrase where it just said, just say no. You know, concerning drug abuses in particular. Resist. Just say no. James 4, verse 7 says, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So there's power in just, you know, kind of putting up the cross and no, no. Yeah. What am I to think and what am I to do about evil? Point number four is resist it. Resist it. Number five is don't walk in the way of evil. Well, that's part of resisting, isn't it? In Proverbs 1, verse 15, my son, don't walk in the way with them. Don't do that. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet runs to evil. Oh. And again, the warning, Proverbs 4, verse 14, don't enter the path of the wicked. Don't walk in the way of evil. Don't travel in it. Turn away from it. In Proverbs 4, verse 26, ponder the path of your feet and remove your foot from evil. Don't walk there. You see what they're doing? That's all that's wrong? Don't do that. Don't step over and join them. In Psalm 1, verse 1, there's a blessing in the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. There's a blessing. Don't do that. Don't walk in the way of evil. Number 6 is just the title of our lesson. Depart from it. Depart from it. I can give you a lot of commentary concerning evil, but I'm reading so many verses because the scripture text gives the commentary. It gives the admonition. It gives the recovery. It gives the encouragement to stay on the right side. And this one in Psalm 34, verse 13. Keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil, and the remedy, do good. Do good. Exodus 20. Depart from it. Number 7, the last one. Overcome evil with good. Overcome. I do that. That's the Bible admonition, isn't it? After all these things, we just said, okay, what can I do about evil? I hate it. Pray for deliverance from it. Keep your heart from evil. Resist it. Don't walk in the way of evil. Depart again. And now, overcome it. Because remember, the introduction, there will always be evil around us. We see it, we read about it, it's in the news. Romans 12, verse 17. How do I overcome evil? Romans 12, verse 17 says, repay no one evil for evil. So when evil is committed against you, don't be like them. Don't do what they just did to you. Don't repay. If they did you evil, don't do evil back. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for the good things in the sight of God. If it's possible, as much as depends on you. Okay, now, all right, not my obligation. Live peaceably with all men. Beloved, he says, do not avenge yourselves. Don't avenge yourselves. Don't repay evil with evil. Okay? He says, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And again, the recovery or the admonition or the how can I take heed to this lesson? Proverbs 20, verse 22. Proverbs says, do not say, I'll recompense evil. Don't say, wait for the Lord and he will save you. Well, that's what I want, is deliverance, salvation. I want to do good. Don't say, I'll get even. I'll recompense. I'll pay back. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. It says, finally, all of you be of one mind. There's something that all of us need to think alike. Have compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil, or reviling for reviling. Don't do that. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Wait a minute, that person over there just did me wrong. They did me evil. What am I going to do? I'm not going to avenge myself. I'm not going to repay with evil. I'm going to do good. Whatever that involves. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Oh, I've got this urge for retaliation. I need to search and seek peace. I need to find a way by God's help. Deliver me from evil. Don't. God, help me not to be revengeful. I need to pray. God, you know how to deliver the godly out of temptation. I have the urge to get even and worse. Whatever they did to me, I want to do double back to them. No. Overcome evil with good. Well, I can understand all the evil. All right, I'll hate the evil. Not a problem. I'll pray. I'll keep my heart from evil. I'm going to resist it. I'm not going to walk in the way of it. But, oh, man, I have the opportunity to repay. All these things sound good till it says, don't repay evil for evil. The eyes of 1 Peter 3, verse 12 concludes, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. I want to overcome evil with good and not participate in what just happened to me and be like them. So that's the lesson. Like I say, you're familiar with it. This is just a reminder of all the things that we've been taught. What our parents said, what our Bible class teachers have said. So there's the biblical admonition, the biblical encouragement, the way we're supposed to behave. Almost like last week's lesson, to this you are called. this, that Christ suffered for us, giving us an example that we should follow his steps. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. Follow his steps. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. If you're subject to it, if you're not obeyed, the good news, the gospel message by being baptized for remission of sins. Simple process of becoming a Christian. You need to hear the good news, hear that gospel message that God so loved the world he gave his own son. Listen to it. Jesus commissioned his apostles in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Go into all the world. Don't leave anybody out. You tell everybody, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. There's a salvation message that is to be preached, to be delivered. So hear that good news message and believe it. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please him, meaning God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then another step in that process of repent. Jesus said it this way in Luke 13, verse 3 and verse 5. Repent or perish. I don't want to perish. And then we make our confession that what we believe. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And when Philip preached that message to the Ethiopian, he stopped his sermon on Jesus in Acts chapter 8. The Ethiopian said, well, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe, you may. And he made that confession. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Stopped the chariot. He commanded the chariot to stand still. They both went down into the water. Philip baptized him. He came up out of the water. And the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. You've heard me say it. Salvation is always an occasion of joy or rejoicing. So that's the invitation we extend at the close of every lesson. You're subject to that message, you're not obeying that good news, gospel message already. So let's stand and sing the song that this is selected for. Please all be baptized this morning. We can...